going on, guys? This is Marginally Masculine with your host, Bud Slogues.
I'm Vinny Vergicucciolo.
I'm Gabe Ultrasoft.
And I'm George W. Bush.
So we're back. This is a thing again.
It's been a long time. It's been an entire summer. So hoping to get things rolling again.
Yeah, we got a lot of shit we want to talk about. The thing I've been wanting to talk about most is I got a new cell phone maybe about 6 months ago, and I guess the person who had the number prior to me was just signed up for a lot of whack, sus shit. So I've been getting like calls and texts for this guy since I got my new phone, like since the day of. And this guy's name is Byron. And not Brian. Byron. Yeah.
It's Byron.
That's how you know he's a thug.
So I've been... This man has just been an enigma in my life since I picked up this phone. And, like, I've been getting calls for him daily, texts for him. And, like, most of it's, like, automated shit. Like, some of it's, like, oh, like, sexy singles in your area and, like, things like that. But,
did you get a nudie once?
Dude, Byron sent
you a
nude?
Wait, no. You did get a nudie. No, I got, like, female nudes sent to me.
From Byron?
Not from Byron, but, like... I assume it was going to him. I literally just, like, you know, I have a girlfriend that could be problematic. So
that
would
be tough to explain.
Yeah, no, so I was literally like, you have the wrong number. I'm so sorry. I'm erasing these right now. And I erased the number and blocked it because I didn't want any more of that and just left it at that. But recently, and like, I actually got a phone call from his landlord once too, asking about his rent. And, like, when he was going to pay it. And I was like, listen, like, this isn't Byron's
phone.
Dude,
what if you're being catfished? What if you're being reversed catfished?
I mean...
What if some group of people have decided to orchestrate some crazy thing where they convince you that you're Byron, and then they get you to pay to fix their car, but they don't tell you that. They tell you that it's for rent, or they tell you, Byron, I got your baby.
Bro, what the fuck is
that weed? What if that's going on? What if that's what's happening? What's, like, what?
Okay, I think this disproves that. So, I get a phone call from, like, a random number, and I just started, like, sending them straight to voicemail because, like, I got sick of dealing with that shit. And this one leaves a message, and usually they don't. So, I was like, okay, that's strange. I'm just going to read from you, like, you know, my iPhone automatically makes a transcript of the message. I'm just going to read to you guys what it said. Hi, this message is for Byron. I'm Officer Steve with the Rampo Police Department, calling to inform you that the judge has issued a warrant for your arrest. So you need to turn to the Rampo Police Department and just take care of it.
Rampo Police Department?
It's Rampo, I believe.
The Rampo Police Department.
Rambo, man. But,
Rambo,
yeah, so he was like, please come to the department and take care of it. Here's the number. You know, call us if you have any questions, and thank you.
Dude, that does not disprove it.
Well,
that proves it. Because cops don't call people to tell them you're under arrest. What? Like, imagine if that happened. People would just leave. They'd be like, oh, the cops are coming to arrest me. I'm going to Mexico. Like, that's not what they do in real life. They don't do that in real life. So that means someone is trying to convince you that you are Byron.
No, that's a small-time thief. Nothing that happens.
That is not a thing that cops do. They don't give you warning. They don't give you 20 seconds head start.
My guess is, though, like, if there's a warrant out for your arrest and you just show up and, like, handle whatever it is, it's easier than, like, running from the law. Because there's probably something minor. Like, I doubt Byron, like, killed a guy. But, like... You know, maybe he was, like, on probation or, like, shit like that and just didn't show up. And the judge was like, oh, my God, like, you know, if he's not showing up, he's got to get arrested, you know? Mm. So that would be my guess. But I called the office after and, like, you know, it was like, hello, like, you know, police department. And I was like, hey.
Fuck.
I was like, hey, listen, like.
Never mind then about my
fear. I was like, hey, listen, like, I've been getting phone calls for this dude named Byron for a while and, like. That's, like, not me, and, like, you know, I got an important phone call about him getting, like, a warrant, like, out for him, and they were like, okay, we're gonna have to transfer you to, like, this section of our department. So they ended up transferring me twice, and I ended up talking to, like, the guy who's, like, in charge of Byron's, like, investigation or whatever. Dude, yeah, I didn't ask him any questions. I really wanted to, but I was like, this is not gonna work out.
Dude, you know the movie The Truman Show?
Yes, I know the movie The Truman Show.
That's what's going on. They've got you so... You're so deep in it, Connor. Dude, it's the Truman Show. That wasn't real, the police department. They just got 4 or 5 different actors saying, oh, we're going to transfer you to the next guy. Oh, to the next guy. Oh, you realizing that this is all fake? You're not, like, trying to convince your buyer? Oh, no, talk to this cop. He'll tell you, oh, okay, sir, bye. Like, what? Dude, I watch out.
Well, <Dave. laughs> yeah. I bought a car this summer, too. And there was a sticker on the back, and it was from like a company, but the guy who owns the company's name is like Brian. It's like a used car dealership. So I peeled off some of the letters, rearranged them. Now my car says Byron on the back.
That's real clever.
I love that.
So yeah, that's the legacy of Byron. Now Gabe.
Yes.
You said you wanted to talk to us about cruise ships.
Dude, I got something way more important than cruise ships to talk about. You know what's going on in China right now? This is a real thing. This is a real thing. There was an international tribunal.
I've been to China.
An international tribunal investigating into the forced organ harvesting of political prisoners going on in China on a massive scale. On an industrial scale. You know what you can do right now? You live in the US. You need an organ transplant. You go online, you can buy an organ to order from China. You just fly to China, go to a normal-ass hospital. And this is not made up. This is a real thing that is going on.
I mean, like, I'm not lying.
Where, if you're buying the organ on the spot, dude, you know how long it takes if you wait on, like, a donor list? Months in the, like, so long. China, you can buy one with 2 days' notice? What? Like, where is that coming from? Hundreds of thousands of people a year are being murdered for
like
their organs. It's
families,
okay.
Like,
no,
they?
Here's what it is. There is a protest kind of cult, kind of religion group called the Falun Gong in China right now.
Okay.
And there's like some like couple million of them, whatever. China is imprisoning them in internment camps and then slowly murdering them off by selling their organs to Westerners. Like, this isn't even illegal. Germany made it illegal. Maybe not Germany. I can't remember which, but like some European country outlawed buying organs from China for this reason.
And it's
okay.
It's
okay everywhere else. In America, this is fine. They don't care. Like, yeah, sure. Go buy someone's organs. Like, what the fuck? You know how they're protesting it? Like, the Falun Gong has a division in the U.S. Like, just like a group of them in the U.S. right now. The Falun Gong. It's the political group in China. Like, the ones being targeted for their organs, whatever. They have a group in the U.S. It's a dance troupe. It's called Shen Yun. It's a dance troupe. They do dance, like yoga mom going out on a Saturday night, see like, oh, New York City, let's go see a show, let's see the Shen Yun, like, cool dance, whatever. It is political propaganda to let people know what is going on in China. They got, like some of the dances, it's like a surgery table, and it's like, oh, cool, what's that? That's what the fuck? Why is nobody talking
about
this?
This
came out in June. It's not like we've known about this for like years. This came out in June, and no one's talking about this. This should be bigger news.
Wait, so like, what is it about Shen Yun exactly that makes it like what exactly is it about Shen Yun that makes it like a police or a piece of like political propaganda?
Because it's like supposed to symbolize how they're being like oppressed and then murdered and then like. But they're out here protesting. I don't know. I haven't seen the show. But, like, you can look this up. This is actually what it is.
The Chinese government,
dude, you
like,
see billboards for this show on the Jersey Turnpike.
Wait, no, it's so a how big did you thing. Find out about this?
Dude, I don't even remember.
Oh, my God.
I just, one day I started Googling it, and, like,
you just researched
dude, the
time. You fell down
New
a rabbit
Times,
hole.
The New York Times has written, like, multiple times about this, and just nobody,
the,
like,
wait, the New York
Times? The Times, yes.
As the Chinese government, like, respond. You know,
they
gonna,
don't,
I'm gonna,
see,
I'm gonna take
here's
a look.
The thing. Here's the thing. They are cracking down on it by imprisoning and murdering the Falun Gong. Like, that's what they're doing. They,
And then you're still buying organs.
Yeah, you can still go and buy organs.
Damn.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Falun Gong. I'm looking it up, and like, it's financial incentives. Yeah.
You gotta, that's good journalism.
Wow. That's crazy, but it doesn't...
WallStreetJournal.com.
See, China claims, like, the Wall Street Journal... According to the Wall Street Journal, publicly, China has claimed to have the largest voluntary organ donation system.
Voluntary my ass.
Yeah, no, like, that's incredibly suspicious. And deeply unsettling.
You know the weirdest part about this? In 2015... The UN acknowledged it, because this has been going on for 20 years.
Not a human rights
in 2015, well, no, it was kind of like China came out and they were like, hey, guys, we're going to stop killing people for their organs. Cool. And everyone was like, all right, like, we didn't really know that was going on, but cool. But, like, they didn't. And they're doing it on a much larger scale now. So it was kind of like... Like, oh, you got us. Like, we're not gonna do that. And then they just ramped it up. Dude, if you really wanna, like, get deep into this, there's this documentary, 2018. It's called Letter from Masangia. M-A-S-A-N-G-I-A.
J-I-A.
J-I-A, you're right. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But just listen to the description. When a desperate letter written by a Chinese political prisoner turns up in some Halloween decorations sold in Oregon, it sparks a chain of events that exposes human rights violations and leads to sweeping labor reform in China. That's a documentary from 2018. It got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can Google this right now. Like, this is real. What?
We're before the next podcast, we're all gonna sit down and watch that and just, I don't know, learn a little bit more about this, because it's incredibly interesting, as deeply unsettling as it is.
Jesus.
Yeah. You know what else is kind of crazy? I'm not gonna say where I worked, because this is just a half-baked podcast, but I over the summer, I worked in some form of government. And for that form of government, something I had to do was research state donor statistics, like, throughout the U.S., you know, primarily focusing on New York because we're here, but I had to, like, compare it to other states. So I did all this research on, like, which states donate the most.
Blood, first, or, like, what is this, like, organs?
Like, I was going on percentages of people who were registered organ donors, like, on their, like, license and their IDs and whatever. And New York is absolutely abysmal. It's for some reason, it's been harder and harder to come by, like, actual number statistics. But as of right now, New York is somewhere on the bottom, hovering around 30% for how many people are registered organ donors. Hmm. Which, like, honestly, I'll be honest, I'm not right now, but I'm working on registering because, I don't know. I'm not gonna tell people what to do, but, like, I think that, like, you know, if I get in a car accident or some shit... And
like, the first thing they're gonna do is just stab you and, like, take out your organs. And I'm like, my family. And I'm like... But at the same time, the people you gotta save...
That's what I mean. Like, I don't know. If I'm just getting thrown in a box in the dirt and, like, some kid needs my heart, like, take it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
You're right.
Yeah. Right now, though, the highest donor percent, like, percentage, obviously not... exact number, but the highest percentage in the person per state is Alaska at 91%.
Shout out Alaska. There you go, guys.
I feel like it's because they live in the woods and they just have to, like, use everything around them.
They're close to Canada. The Canadians. If the point just rubs off, that's pretty much what it is.
That makes way more sense.
I don't know, maybe it's because they're right by Russia. You know. Russians on some different shit, bro.
Okay, I've been taking a class about Russia, and I've had to research so much bullshit. Yeah, no. Putin has more money than most small countries do, like in his personal bank account. Yeah. But that's a whole other thing. Honestly, you know what? If you guys want to hear about Russia, maybe we'll talk about it at some point.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That is, yeah, that is.
You know how long Putin's been in power? Like, I know you know. What he does is he just switches off with like the prime minister or some shit. They just trade positions back and forth. Mm-hmm. So you can say it's a democracy. Because that's one measure of democracy. Like, does the government shift?
Change of power,
he's like, yeah, look, I haven't been. Play in charge every other year, whatever. That's like what?
He's like,
that's insane.
He was like, I was the prime minister for a year, and like the prime minister there isn't the highest position like in Russia. Yeah, it's like the second highest. But like Putin was like, no, I was prime minister for 3 years. It's like, and I watched an interview with him that was like fairly recent. I want to say it was 2018. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the interviewer said, like, oh, so, you know, Mr. Putin, in your past, like, 20 years or something in power, like, how have you seen the world change? And that was, like, this was the first question in the interview. I remember it because I remember going, that was a bold question. And immediately Putin goes, well, if you recall, like, he was prime minister for a year. Like, so, like, you know, it was in Russian. There was subtitles. So that shit's crazy. And then, at least with the organ donating in like the United States kind of falls in with like blood donating and things like that. And I'm going to be honest, there are some issues with the Red Cross that people don't particularly know about. And like the three of us aren't like super educated on this. Mm-hmm. Three of us because George had to dip. But the three of us aren't particularly educated on, but like we do have like some general knowledge on it and like some personal experiences. So,
dude, I got a dilemma with the whole Red Cross thing. Because, objectively, Red Cross as an organization is kind of trash. Like, they're not a good nonprofit. They're whack. Do you know they sell your blood? Like, honestly, fine. They gotta, like, fund it all somehow. But
capitalism,
that's just
America,
a little whack.
Like,
I should be the one selling my blood. But I don't want to do that. Like, that's whack. I'm an O negative. So I got an ethical responsibility. That sounds fuck that. But like I do. Like I gotta donate. O negative is rare, dude.
Yeah, just in case you guys don't know, O negative is it's a universal donor blood type,
donor.
And it's you know the rarest one that someone will have. You know.
Yeah.
So that's why you know.
But it's just weird thinking about. Like, this organization's profiting off of my... But of course... I don't know.
I
don't know. Your thoughts.
They advertise, like, the blood you're donating. They advertise that it's going to hospitals, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like... They leave people under the assumption that they're taking your blood, and they're storing it for you, and they're bringing it to the hospital, and they're giving it to them, and they're giving it to the people who need it.
I mean, honestly,
and, like,
you're probably going to be paying for your own blood someday.
Like, yeah, they sell it, and you have to pay. Like, the hospitals pay for it and buy the blood from the Red Cross. So they're not just, like, giving away. And, like, yeah, like you mentioned, like, of course there are fees on, like, drawing the blood, hiring people to do it, storing it, transporting it. All of that costs money. And, like, that's true, but, like...
Where do you draw the line at that point, honestly?
I don't know. It depends. I guess it boils down to whether or not they're selling it for a profit. You know, I feel like this is also going to require some deep digging.
You could probably try looking this up, like the people at the top of the Red Cross, what their salaries are. Because I don't know. They are they're a non-profit. Like, they're classified as a non-profit, so
but
they can't make a profit. But that doesn't mean, and this is a big problem in like just the charity industry as a whole. The debate between should, like, the people in charge, like, the presidents of charities, should they be paid competitive salaries? Because on the one hand, you want someone, like, good, who is good enough to run, like, a Fortune 500 company, running, like, a massive charity. Like, some of these charities have, like, billions of dollars. So, yes, you want someone good at the helm. But at the same time, do you really want to be paying, like, six, sometimes seven-figure salaries to a nonprofit that's supposed to be, like, out
that's
helping
ridiculous.
People? Like, when you donate money to a nonprofit, a lot of that, especially if there are a lot of overhead costs, which, again, it's a whole debate. I'm not taking sides because whatever the case, they're doing good out there. So it's fine. But do you really want, like, some part of every dollar you give to, like, malaria net charity is actually going to pay someone's salary. When you think about it, it has to be. Overhead costs are a misunderstood issue in the charity industry. Like, it's whack. To the Red Cross specifically, though.
Yeah, I just...
those numbers now?
Yeah, yeah. So I just went on the Red Cross's website, and they have on there... So the president and CEO of the American Red Cross is Gail McGovern, and her base salary is $500,000 a year, but she hasn't had any pay crease, and it's stayed that way since she joined the Red Cross in 2008.
I mean, what the fucking...
Yeah,
I like that, because that's a good way of balancing it. She, honestly, you run an organization like that, you're getting offers from other places that aren't nonprofits that are for more than $500K a year.
And the way, this is what it says on the site, this salary is considered well within the range for executives of large nonprofits like the Red Cross. And then they label the Red Cross as a $3.3 billion a year organization.
Dude, what does Charity Navigator get the Red Cross?
I'll take a look on that.
That's, like, Charity Navigator and GuideStar.
I don't even know what Charity Navigator is.
It's a website that helps you, like, rate charities. It's a nonprofit in and of itself, which this is a good example of that whole debate between, like, overhead costs. Charity Navigator is a nonprofit, and all they do is research other nonprofits so you can make an informed decision about where to give your money. So, but the thing is, they take donations. Charity Navigator takes donations. Because of course they do. How else are they going to pay salaries for people to code this website and research all the charities? Like, they got to be doing it. But when you donate a dollar to them, it's all overhead costs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dilemma. But in the end, the main takeaway is people shouldn't really care about overhead costs as much as they do. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
I'm a Charity Navigator. It doesn't really show much on, like, how
honest
they are.
Honestly, I'm having trouble navigating the charity.
That's okay.
But we'll, again, this is something else that we can, honestly, if you guys are really interested in it, you can, I'm sure you guys have
Google
fucking.
It. Yeah, we are not qualified to talk.
You guys have fucking computers.
People get their MPAs in how to talk, like, how to rate charities and shit like this. Like, we are not qualified.
No,
I took one philanthropy class in undergrad, and now I'm an expert.
No. What? So, yeah, if this is something you're... I don't know. Just Red Cross, if you're really interested in this, like, do more research. And honestly, shoot us an email, marginallymasculine@gmail.com, or hit us up on Instagram or Twitter, whatever.
But actually, you know what? I want to make one last point before we move on from the Red Cross. I remember back, my sophomore year when I was, like, doing some philanthropy events for the Club Across in here. At the, Red Cross booth or whatever we were working at, there was this nice little, like, Muslim lady came up with a hijab on,
you were just working there volunteering your time?
Yes, volunteering my personal time, to help not just the organization, but, the local community and whatnot. And this Muslim woman with the hijab just came up. She was like, oh, like, may I have some food, clothing, whatever that may have been. And, before I handed it over, there was someone working for the Red Cross.
So it was, so there's volunteers, and then there's, like, a couple Red Cross
people. Actually, yes.
Okay,
certified workers.
Got it.
And she was like, no, ma'am, you have to go take off your job and claim, like, Jesus is your Lord and Savior and, like, accept Christianity and some bullshit.
Wait. So.
Yeah. It was that bad.
So she came, you guys are handing out clothes to, like, just homeless people.
Homeless
things
people,
like that.
Random
and
people.
So she came up and asked for some clothes.
So, yeah, this specific woman had a hijab on.
Right.
So now, obviously,
she's Muslim.
Man can assume that.
Right, yeah.
Yep. And right there and then, all of a sudden, this woman just turns her head and is like, no, you have to, like, take off your job and this and that. And I was just like, okay. And then me as a Muslim, I'm like, fuck this. I have no clue why you guys are still existing right now. That is fucked up beyond belief. And I dropped all my shit and I dipped. Because I cannot stand for that shit. Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking insane.
I hope it's just this one little time in, like, this bumblefuck area that we live in right now. But, I mean, that's... Come on, guys. Come on.
Wow. I mean, I guess, like... They're like the Red Cross, like, Christian organization. Like, I don't know. That's like, I can't even say I get it, Because,
I was there and I didn't even get it.
That's the kind of shit, like, You like,
that's fucked up.
You should tell Pipe Dream about that.
Yeah, honestly,
dude, because that's a real story
to write about. Yeah, that's, honestly,
I mean, this happened like two years ago.
That's how, like, in this era, that's how you stop shit like that from happening. Like,
you're right,
someone
yeah.
posts a story about it. It goes viral. Mm-hmm. They're like, what the fuck, Red Cross? People start looking into the other shit about the Red Cross. Like,
I don't know.
And then people say, oh, like, I've heard a story just like that before. And then, you know, it gets wind, get the snowball going.
I guess. Yeah, okay. So that's a super fucked up story, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah.
We're just gonna let you guys remedy, you know, and sit on that for a little bit. And while you sit on that, you can listen to a word from our sponsor real quick, and we'll be right back. Yeah, we're gonna do that. All right, guys, and we're back. Thanks for listening to the ad. So yeah, that was, you know, if you were listening beforehand, we're talking about the Red Cross and how they kind of don't really do.
They're assholes.
They can be assholes, and they can sometimes not do exactly what they're saying they are. Or they sell your blood. They don't just give it away. But anyway,
dude, you know, that's why, like, when I do give money away, I only give it to mosquito nets, bro. Like, here's the thing. Okay, so first I'll start out, like, donating money anywhere is great. Like, do your thing, help the world. But donating money abroad, generally, because there's, like, whole different, like, tons of debates about everything anyway. Generally, it's way more cost-effective to give your dollar to something like mosquito nets, like the Against Malaria Foundation. $1 is so much more powerful given there, because about $4 buys one mosquito net. And you know what that does? That stops someone from getting malaria while they're asleep that otherwise would probably get malaria. And malaria kills. It's something like two-thirds of people.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. So for like $4.50, you have like a decent chance of saving a whole life. Like, that's ridiculous. And I'm oversimplifying it a ton. But essentially, that's the whole argument.
Yeah,
that's what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Against Malaria Foundation, you could shoot them $4.50 and you're saving someone from malaria if you want to do your good deed for the day.
We
at Marginally Masculine, support
And this is not a paid advertisement.
No, this is
not. That's a whole nother debate in charity, whether or not nonprofits should be allowed to use paid advertising, because it increases funding. But anyway, not talking about that.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing.
But yeah, no, we're not getting paid for this. We just think you should get mosquito nets for people so they don't get malaria, because we like to think we're good people.
Yeah, stay in one night. Buy yourself, buy someone else a mosquito net.
Drink Bush beer
instead of Bud Light. If you're buying a 30 rack, get something cheap and give someone a mosquito net. Yeah. All right, so we're gonna pretty much wrap up the charity conversations here. And we're going to go into something a little bit more lighthearted. This movie came out a little while ago, but, you know, we've been gone all summer, so we're trying to cover...
Catch up.
Yeah, we're playing catch up a little bit. I saw The Lion King live action.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, you saw it?
Yep, I saw it.
Bud saw it. Gabe, did you see it yet?
I didn't see it yet.
No, okay. You saw it?
No,
I saw the original. It's fine.
Hey, did you see it? The live action?
I saw it.
You saw it? Okay.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay.
And we'll see. We can talk about this spoiler free, unlike Endgame back in the day, which we're not going to talk about now because that's old news.
Yeah.
But
Dumbledore dies in Endgame. Spoiler alert.
There you go. Sorry about it. But yeah. So the live action Lion King, I gotta say, it had one of the most stacked casts that I've ever seen. Like, I thought
that's true. Wasn't Eric Andre in that?
Yup.
Dude, Eric Andre and Hannibal Buress are going mainstream. And I love it.
Yeah.
Wasn't Seth Rogen, like, Pumbaa or something like that?
What the fuck?
Yeah, no, the cast was, so, for those, you know, for those of you who don't know, I don't know how you wouldn't know this yet, the cast of Lion King, Donald Glover was Simba, Mm-hmm. Seth Rogen was Timon. No, it was Puma. Puma. Yeah. He was the
hog.
The hog.
And also the hog. Jesus Christ, Puma was a mess in that live action.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Yeah, a lot of people had problems with the animations for it because some people said they were too realist and that they took it took very little creativity to, you know, for the animators to come up with the designs and shit. And like a lot of people on I feel like Reddit and like Instagram and things like that, they were merging the live action designs with the old animated designs. Mm-hmm. And they actually came out, like, in my opinion, I thought some of them came out a little bit better than like the current live action designs. Okay. But either way, that doesn't change the fact that the cast was incredibly stacked. You got Donald Glover as Simba, you got Beyonce as Nala, Seth Rogen as Pumbaa, you got James Earl Jones as Mufasa, and then it's just like random celebrities scattered throughout. Eric Andre.
John Oliver was in this?
John Oliver was in it.
Who did John Oliver play?
I think he was the little bird.
Google that. I do not believe that John Oliver was in The Lion King.
John Oliver? Does he... Really?
He sings? What?
Dude. Let's see. Who is he? John Oliver was... I'm looking it up now. And
go back.
Oh, it was Zazu.
Yeah, it was Zazu. Okay, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. That's insane.
Wait, yeah. I kind of hear it now.
Yeah. No. He was Zazu. I thought when I saw the movie, I thought Timon was what's that comedian's name?
Which one?
The one who always cracks jokes about how he sounds gay, but he's not.
John Mulaney.
I thought John Mulaney was Timon when I was listening, but it's actually Billy Eichner. I think that's how you say his last name. I don't know. He's on like Billy on the Streets, if you've ever seen that. He's a funny dude. He was in Parks and Rec for a little bit too.
Funny looking. Sorry.
But yeah, that cast was stacked, and I thought the movie was pretty good. I mean,
some people hated the live action. Honestly, my only complaint was like they could not show any emotions.
Here was a valid complaint I heard about the fact that they keep making live action remakes of Disney movies. And first of all, how is The Lion King live action? Did they get real lions? No, what? That's not live action. It's just
CGI.
Slightly better looking fake pictures. Like what? Anyway, here's my point. All these new quotes, new Disney movies that keep coming out. It's the same, and we know it's the same movie. And it's nostalgic, whatever, it's cute, you go see it, reminds you of your childhood. It's killing art. There's nothing, there's no new content. And this is a huge thing in, like, the art world.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make a huge profit on, like, some new, like, creative story that no one's ever told before. And that's, like, if you look back, any plot, 90% of everything we watch, it's the same thing that's just been done. Like, the Bible stole from older books. We've been stealing stories for as long, like, literally, this is a real thing. When new shit comes around, people don't know what it is, so they don't pay to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So the people funding it are like, why are we doing this? The old shit works. Fuck you, new artists. So there's no new art. And it's sad.
Yeah.
You're talking about movies ripping off things. Some people said that The Lion King ripped off a Japanese cartoon called Kimba the White Lion.
And then that to be honest, that probably ripped off something else.
Yeah.
But
there's actually like videos and stuff of like shot by shot, like
frame by frame
comparisons between Kimba the White Lion and the Lion King. And I've never seen Kimba the White Lion, and I haven't done that much research into it. It's just something like I've stumbled across from time to time.
I want
to
say though, Kimba, if you are an original story, I'm so sorry for assuming that
you
were.
Shout
out to Kimba. I'll give you those props. I'm not gonna assume that you stole it.
Yeah, apparently plot-wise, there's, like, a lot of differences, but, like, I don't know, character-wise, there's, like, a lot of similarities. Like, I know Kimba has, like, a lion with a scar across his face who's, like, the evil one, and, like...
Wait, guys, what am I saying? I don't know. Like, isn't Lion King Hamlet? Right? That's the story. Like, that's...
Huh. Plot-wise,
so that's my point. That proves my older point.
Now, who did Hamlet rip off? That's the question.
Probably did. What? Anyway.
People steal. That's how it goes. There's a whole thing. We're not going to talk about this now, but with the music industry, just like repeating like similar sounding songs and pieces. So there's like there's conspiracy theories around this shit, and like radios being played to play certain songs at certain times so that you like them more.
Dude, that's not even a conspiracy. Like, they play the same 20 songs.
Yeah, no, it's,
and that's by design.
Yeah.
So those are the 20 songs you like.
That's
like, they don't even have to be good.
Nope. Alright, so that's something we're gonna talk about a whole other time. But when I went to go see The Lion King, I saw a trailer for something that I found deeply
disturbing.
Deeply disturbing. And I know Gabe has very intense opinions on. I saw the trailer. I saw the trailer for the movie Cats.
Coming.
They're making a live action
reboot. There's already a Cats movie. It came out when the musical came out. God damn.
It was fucking scary, honestly. I saw the trailer just a few minutes ago, guys. It was bad.
We made Bud watch this before we recorded, just because I wanted to talk about how fucking bad it was.
It was creepy.
Yeah, they just like, it's like normal heads on CGI bodies. And
they crawl like actual cats. That's
They move around like real cats. It's just like, it's like weird furry type shit.
Yeah, this got quite the cast as well, huh?
What's up?
The cast for Cats? Cast for Cats?
They have
cats. Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Does she dance? Okay, correct. If she dances, fine. Props to you, Taylor Swift. Whatever. But Cats, the only thing it has going for it, the only thing is the dancing. Does she dance?
I mean,
she can sing.
What? James Corden does not dance.
Oh,
I can tell
moves.
You that.
No, I think he does dance around in it. He
sing.
In the trailer, he's dance. Like he's bouncing around.
That's ridiculous.
And then you got Idris Elba. Yeah.
How old is that man? 60? If he's still dancing,
I don't care.
He's got robot legs.
Idris will always be Charles Minor in The Office to me. I don't care about anything else he was in. Not Thor, nothing. He's Charles Minor, and he's frustrating to watch in that show. But who else is in it?
Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
Grizabella. We'll see if she can top Betty Buckley, the original. I don't know. I think she can do it.
I've never even seen the musical or the movie, so I know very little about Cats.
It was just too
much. The extent that I know of it was the trailer, and that I found it unsettling.
I have some strong goddamn opinions about Cats. Guys, this is going to blow your minds. Do you know what the actual plot? Do you know what the actual plot of Cats is? This is the plot of Cats, and you have to believe me on this.
Shoot.
This is the plot of Cats. I'm not making this up. The cats are all having a dance competition to see who deserves the right to go into the UFO that will take them to cat heaven, and Grizabella wins. Sorry for spoiling it.
Who's the plot.
What?
That is the plot of Cats. You won't find it in the trailer, but look up the plot of Cats.
Oh, sorry, you said Grizabella.
Grizabella.
Yeah, well, that's her name. But
okay,
like,
yes. Got it.
That is
the plot. I literally type in plot, and the first thing that comes up on Google is the plot of Cats. Maybe that's because I've just been Googling cat shit recently, but like, it tells the story of a tribe of cats called the the Jellicles, and the night they make the Jellicle choice, deciding which cat will ascend to the heavenside layer and come back to a new life. The musical includes a well-known song, "Memory," sung by Grizabella. So it's literally a UFO that like just abducts the cat. I hate it.
Well, I mean, it's like they do it. I don't know how they'll do it.
I hope it's the animal
in
catcher.
The show. Like, it's whack. It is ridiculous.
Oh, you mean like the street guys who like catch like stray cats and shit?
Yeah. I hope it's just him with a flashlight and like that thing with the rope on the end. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Dude, Andrew Lloyd Webber was on some shit. He literally was on some shit when he wrote this. Andrew Lloyd Webber goes. So here's the story of how Cats. Here's the story of how Cats. You look this up. Look up Andrew Lloyd Webber Cats. Here's the story of how this came into being. He found like, you know, T.S. Eliot? He found an unpublished little some poem book by T.S. Eliot.
Okay.
Called, I don't remember what it was called. It was something about cats. It's a poem book about individual cats. And then the thing is, T.S. whatever, no, Andrew Lloyd Webber finds this one poem in it. It might have been, okay, I think he published the book, but he didn't publish this poem. I don't know, something like that. But the point is, he finds this poem. It's about a sad cat. And he's like, whoa, there's a sad cat. That's so, like, poignant. I'm going to write a goddamn musical. He goes to, like, producers. And he's already a big name at this point, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're like, fuck, we'll, like, take a shit. We'll put that on Broadway. He's like, guys, here's what I want to do. I want to take this book that is a poem book about cats, and I want to make a musical about cats. And the producers are like, great, we'll spin this. Like, we can make it a satire about society, something like meaningful, whatever, cool. He's like, no, fuck that. I just want to make it about cats dancing. They're like, well, is there a plot? He's like, yes. And it's whack shit. And they're like, fuck it, do it. This is the real story. He did a shit ton of cocaine. His writers did a shit ton of cocaine. And in, I don't remember how long it was, but in like a week, like some crazy short amount of time, they just wrote out this whole ass musical called Cats. And it won Tonys. It won, look at those Tonys it won.
I mean, it ran on Broadway, because I'm Googling it to double check, Gabe.
Best musical. It won Best Musical. What the fuck? In 1981, Cats.
While the Broadway That's production of Cats ran for about 18 years. with almost 7,500 performances.
Oh my god.
Jesus fucking Christ.
See, here's the thing. Before I knew the story of Cats, of how it's such a meme. It's a 1981 meme. Before I knew that, I hated Cats. I hated Cats.
Because it's just, because
if no, fuck. If you don't know like the story behind it and how whack it is, it's just a musical that look like you can't tell what the plot is.
Yeah,
it's a musical that's just each scene is a different cat being like, look, I can dance. Look at my personality. I'm a mischievous cat. They're all goddamn mischievous cats. That's all they do. That's all it is. So it was like garbage. It's like, what the fuck did I pay for? But if you know the story behind it, you're like, this is some dumb shit. I love it. Like,
they're all mischievous cats. Oh my god. All right, so I think we might have to go see this movie.
So
I don't know if it's out yet, but yeah, we can get nice and wrecked and just go watch Cats.
Bro, we'd rather be going on Tuesdays because I ain't paying full price for that.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. Half price movies on Tuesdays.
Not a sponsor. Dude,
not a sponsor.
They're not getting my like $10.99 to steal Andrew Lloyd Webber's work.
Yeah, just so you know, we're not sponsored by Cats either, or China.
Or the Red Cross.
However, sponsored by Hannibal Buress.
No, we're not.
Shout out to Hannibal.
Although I did kind of want to talk about that. So if we're not segueing.
Nothing like that, guys.
but so I managed all our social media accounts. So shout out to Vinny.
Yeah, because Bud kind of sucks at it.
Bud can't read,
I can't read English.
Gabe can read. But he's too busy worrying about Cats. So yeah, I manage the Instagram account. I do the email and, you know,
the email, the Google.
The internet. So I do all that shit. And it's kind of, it's fun. I've been trying to, right now we really don't have that many followers. So you guys want to follow our Instagram account, that'd be pretty cool. But I try and manage it by just like commenting on posts. Starting today, I've been on this trend. I found a meme, and it's just a picture of, like, a scary-looking Squidward tentacles, and it just says Joe Mama. Like, J-O-E, and then it says Mama in the bottom text. So, I've taken it upon myself to DM celebrities from our podcast account, and I'll say things like... three of the people I DM'd today was Adam Sandler, Mick Jagger, and Tom Holland. And I said the same thing to all three of them. I said, "Hey man, really big fans over here. I was just wondering if you had heard what happened to Joe."
Did anyone respond?
None of them responded.
0-3
But I will continue to DM as many celebrities as I can think of and say very similar things. And if one of them decides to ask, "Who's Joe?" You bet your ass they're getting that Joe Mama meme.
Yo,
and if they respond with that Joe Mama meme, I'm gonna ask for their Venmo so I can give them $100.
Dude, if you give Mick Jagger $100, he will not understand what just happened.
He's gotta send me the Joe Mama meme.
He'd be like, "Who thinks Mick Jagger needs their $100 and to send a meme?" Like, he would go wild. He'd do it. He'd come on the podcast.
Oh, I wish.
And then, another way I've been getting meme, like, trying to get, like, people to, like, see our account and stuff, is I've been cracking jokes on satirical Instagram accounts. So, I started with Clickhole. I'm working my way to The Onion. But I've gotten the top comment, like, once or twice on, like, some posts. But my favorite one was a Clickhole post. They, so, here, you know.
Explain the article. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah. They Clickhole, I don't know if you know what they are. Like, if you don't, like, they just post, like, stupid shit. And they make up quotes and quote celebrities on them. So, one of them was a fake quote they made on, coming from Jamila Jamil. And, you know, the quote they said she said was, "Kermit the Frog's body type is unattainable for the vast majority of women. Realizing this was an important step in my body positivity journey." So, I saw that, and I was like, I'm gonna comment some dumb shit on this.
Typical.
So, from our account, I go, "It absolutely is attainable. You just have to commit yourself to the process." And ended up being the top comment and getting almost 330 likes.
That was so bad.
Oh my god. And because of that comment alone, we had the most visitors on our page than we've ever gotten. So yeah, that's pretty funny. But Gabe mentioned Hannibal Buress, and I actually had a conversation with him on one of his Instagram posts, which was pretty cool.
Shout out to Hannibal.
I don't even remember exactly what it said, but it was just funny that he acknowledged a post that came from this podcast account with like 30 followers.
Dude, I bet one of those out there is Hannibal.
If Hannibal Buress, if you're listening to this podcast, thanks for conversing with me. Yeah. And if you ever like want to come on, like, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, we're not shooting a shot or anything like that, but you're more than welcome to come on anytime you'd like.
Yeah, shoot or shoot. And Hannibal Buress needs to come on our podcast.
Dude, come see cats with us.
Come see cats.
Come see cats.
That'd be an adventure.
All right, everyone who listens to our podcast needs to reach out to Hannibal Buress through whatever means they feel appropriate and pressure him into coming to see cats with the three of us. Popcorn's on us. Yeah, tell him we'll buy the popcorn, and if any of you guys successfully make this happen, we'll buy ticket and the popcorn.
I bet if 6 people did that, Hannibal's, like, dope enough where he'd be like, "All right, 6 is too many people." Just out of nowhere, I'll be like, "Go see cats with this random ass page." He would do it. He is like that.
Yeah, so please do that. And, yeah, give us a follow. If you guys are, like, really interested in some of the shit we were just spewing, really do some research and actually like hit us up, because
we'd be more than welcome to talk about it.
Yeah, if we missed like any big points that you guys know about, or like if you think we weren't like 100% accurate
or
on something.
Or if we just don't know what the fuck we're talking
about. Or if we're just dumb as shit,
like,
and you want to tell us.
Of course.
Like, honestly.
Shout us out.
Hit us up.
I know I'm dumb as fuck.
So, yeah, but thanks for listening, guys. We're back.
Before we head out, we gotta remind them about the little waxing thing we gotta go with on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hey guys, we didn't forget about that, but I kind of pussied out. Last time we went to CVS. I definitely saw the
wax. Wait, no, I heard something different.
What'd you hear?
I heard you went to the pharmacy section looking for leg wax and it was closed, so you left.
No, so something for other
like,
stuff too.
Like you went up and try to give them a prescription for leg wax.
I wish the pharmacist was there and you're like, how do I get the leg wax? But yeah, no, we're gonna still do that and put it up on the Instagram.
So definitely go check it out, guys.
Yeah, follow us because that's gonna happen.
And who doesn't like pain?
Oh, right? Also, Gabe doesn't have to do this because he wasn't part of the initial wager. But we'd like to officially welcome him as a full-time member of the podcast.
Yeah, so way to go, Gabe.
Yeah, there he goes.
Thank you.
So, yeah, exciting stuff coming. Keep listening to us and follow our shit and bother Hannibal Buress. All right, bye, guys.
Bye.
We love you.